That applause was specially recorded for our new serial, Borchak's fantastic cast from the Boys' Bullseye Mag, featuring
The Adventures of Fearless Harry Seacombe.
And that music was played by the Gruber Quartet, who've been specially engaged
direct from the Seaview Hotel Residence Sea Lounge
to play all the theme music for this thrilling new serial,
The Adventures of Fearless Harold Seacombe.
Part one.
Section one.
Installment one.
Chapter one.
But first, for the benefit of new readers, here is a synopsis of...
What has gone before?
Nothing.
Now, read on!
Chapter one. The ghastly experiments of Dr. Hans Eidelberger and his sinister oriental assistant, Yakamoto.
Just one more touch here. So?
Animal doctor has completed another ghastly experiment.
Yeah, Yakamoto. Only a few more now.
Only one drawback. We have run out of vulnerable victims.
You didn't order another dozen, as I told you?
No. Today, early closing.
Oh? Never mind. I'll trust the agent Headstone is at this moment collecting a special victim for me. One, he assures me, is the ideal body.
Then stretch from the arms, raise arms, lower arms down. Coming!
Mr. Fico.
That is my name.
Have you somewhere I could hang up my top hat and shovel?
Certainly. Hang them on the coat rack there. Yeah, let me take your shroud as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, who are you?
My name is Headstone, although I'm known as Digger.
Oh, you're an Australian.
No.
Well, what are you exactly?
I'm a mortician, naturalized British, of course.
You're an undertaker? Nonsense. Can you prove it?
Yes. Well?
Take the lid off! Thank you. Now, what do you want to see me about?
A very grave matter, people. Your health. How do you feel?
Me? Fine. Fit as a fiddle. Brimful of health, bursting with vitality. Anyone, top of the world, in the pink, hale and hearty, and crammed with vim, virile vigor.
That I know just the doctor for you.
I'll go and see him immediately, if you'll let me have his address.
Certainly. Dr. Hans Eidelberger, 10A Matican Street, East Beckham.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, Matican Road, East Acton. I must get there as soon as possible. Thank you.
Honorable Dr. Eidelberger, making experiments in next room.
Oh, is he? What on earth was that?
Scream.
Funny, it sounded exactly like someone in pain.
Not all experiments successful.
Captain Bruton, Chef de Paris, you break me rein. Distant Western mit der Rhein, der Kreuzen Empire. Und der Garlemann.
Yakamoto?
Honorable Doctor?
Experiment 266 kaputt. I have failed with experiment 266.
Oh? Who is this?
Experiment 267.
Huh? Mr. Tickham. Oh, welcome.
Why are you sticking that needle in my arm?
I haven't got a pin cushion.
Hey, that's all right then.
No, this way.
Perhaps
this time my experiment will succeed. There must be a man somewhere who can take the weight of a steamroller on his face.
Wait, I heard that. And I warn you, I'm not paying for any fancy Harley Street treatment. Do I get everything on the natural health?
Everything except the steamroller. That you get on your face.
After you. Thank you.
Honorable listeners are wondering perhaps how experiment is progressing. One moment, please. I will observe. Experiment proceeding satisfactorily.
Yakamoto, come in here.
Coming, sir. Experiment another failure.
Let me go, you scoundrels! Release me at once from this ordinary wooden chair to which you will bound me hand and foot, thereby rendering me helpless. Little does he know that I am sawing through my
ropes
and a rusty nail in the wall.
Little does he know that it doesn't make any difference, as I have nailed his boots to the floor.
Little does he know that I have a spare pair of boots concealed in my ear, and at any moment I shall be leap up, brandishing my revolver.
Little does he know that I have taken his revolver.
I wonder how Arsenal will get on today.
Enough of this, Deacon. The time has come for you to die.
Why?
Well, you're so old. Yakamoto, hand me my gun. And...
Oh, there you are, sir.
Oh, hello, Cabot.
Sorry to bother you, sir, but that 5 past 5 you gave me was a forgery. It's 10 minutes slow.
Never mind that now, man. Help me distract these two criminals. That is, if you don't object to a bout of fisticuffs.
Object? Oh, no.
Right. Put up your duke, Teddy Heidelberg, Arnold. And you, Yakamoto.
Yes, you dirty foreigners, take that.
Oh, and the back. Ah, oh, thank you.
We'll explain to Anchor Kistler that fight not going in our favor. Now, physics stewards must receive honorable Seacombe's fist in honorable left eye.
No!
Will Fearless Harry overpower the villainous pair? Will Heidelberger succeed in opening the floodgates? Will Kensington, the cab driver, manage to stop the oncoming train in time? Will Yakamoto...
Up, up, up! Out! How dare you! Take that! Oh, God!
That fish next week, 7-inch summer. Order your puppy in advance. A spring flood of pulp given away everywhere. Who will win? The pot's the good or the pot's the rainbow? Hooray, the pot's the good, hooray!
Oh,
the most electrifying moment this year was a dramatic message flashed to London. The message read,
Everest conquered.
Everest conquered. This can only mean one thing. Everest had been conquered.
Yes, finally it conquered.
But we, the goons, question the authenticity of the Everest expedition's claim to have climbed that great mountain. We give you now the story on which our doubts are based. Here then is
the Mount Everest Project, or... The Mount Everest Project.
India.
It is about this country and Mount Everest that young Lord Harry Seagoon in 1887 made his speech in the House of Lords.
My lord, Great Britain has now reached the peak of power. We have the world's largest navy, the world's largest army, and the world's finest plum. But one thing we have
not gotten this island.
What is that?
Is the world's highest mountain.
What?
Yes, my lord, it is a bitter realization. But I intend to rectify this geographical discrepancy.
In what manner, my lord?
Simple. Bring Mount Everest here.
Is the honorable lord
seriously suggesting that the whole of Mount Everest be brought to England?
I am. Does the honorable member know what he's talking about?
I'm not supposed to. I'm a politician. I want to bring Mount Everest here for one reason and one reason only.
What is that reason?
To make England the tallest country in the world.
Thank you.
By the volume of your applause, I take it we're all in agreement. Therefore, here to explain his method for moving Mount Everest here is Mr. Crumb. Are you ready to answer questions, Mr. Crumb?
Mr. Grant, how much will it cost to move this mountain?
Will it go by land or sea?
How will the cost be met?
Have you a definite plan?
Yes, I'm ready to answer questions.
Good. Mr. Crumb, how will the mountain be removed from its base?
Well, first, the whole mountain will have to be chopped down. Next, it will be sawn into several 12 3/4-inch blocks.
Why 12 and three quarters? Why not 13?
Because 13 is an unlucky number.
Rubbish,
say what you like. But let me assure you, madam, that 13 is a very, very unlucky number.
Rubbish, I have 13 million pounds in the bank. What did you say about that?
Marry me.
Lord Seagoon's idea was passed, and soon an advance survey party under Major Blugnock arrived in India to measure the great mountain.
Well, Lord Seagoon, this is the Himalayan range. Which one is Everest?
It's the tall one. Look, it's been specially marked with a cross.
Yes. I'll teach the bear to that. Here he comes now.
Hello, Mr. Eccles. I see you've marked the mountain with a cross.
Yep, I write my name everywhere.
Now, Eccles, let us get to work, shall we?
Okay.
Right now, you take this end of the tape measure.
Oh, good, yes.
Now, run around the mountain and measure the circumference.
Okay, here we go.
Hug me, kiss me in your arms until you hold. Oh, dear.
Well, 3,050 miles.
Bonson. Now we'll see how tall it is, shall we?
Okay.
Well, off you go while you're still fresh.
I ain't admitting it, but I'm tired.
Off you go, you malingerer.
Okay, I'm tired.
Major Blugnock, you must be mad to climb to the top of Mount Everest. No human being can do that.
I know, that's why I sent Echo.
Hello, down there. I think 40,000 feet.
Well, you'd better come down a bit.
Why?
It's only 30,000 feet high.
Oh, thank you.
Incidentally, how far can you see?
Oh, it's a wonderful view. I can see right across France, across America. I can see right across the Pacific, right across Japan, over China. And hey, guess what I can see in India?
What, lad?
I can see the back of a man standing on top of a mountain.
I wish we all could. Now, Lord Harry, while we've a moment to wait for Mr. Cunfart to arrive, what about having the railings and cross test?
Was that you making all that noise when you should have been working?
Me? Oh, no.
intrusive. Aren't they getting your captain?
No!
Ellington, are you telling me white lies?
Man? That's the one kind I couldn't tell.
You better dig your frantic gang and start shoving Mount Everest down at once. And put some mattresses down. We don't want to crack it when it falls. It's
okay.
The value.
Come on, you lot. Let's get jumping in the
Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, hello, Mr. Clarence.
Ah! Oh, Ethel. Oh, you gave me such a fright.
Right, Mother? But you saw me coming.
I know, but just seeing you always gives me
a fright. Well, I, no, I'm not used to it. You can't have brains and beauty. I said, no, I ain't got either.
Don't you worry, Echoes. After all, beauty is only skin deep. Oh. Underneath it, we are all the same.
Ooh. Let's think. Without my skin on, I'd look like dinosaurs.
Oh, what a naughty thought. Oh, naughty Echoes. Oh, naughty, naughty. Well, in that's enough, Echoes. Put your skin on again.
Okay. Was it a bit silly? Oh.
Here's a crowd. Before I leave a government house, could you help me check this list of crated stores?
It's certainly, Lord Harry.
Right. Now, in crate number one, we should have the following.
Yes?
6,000 articulated hairless cobalt nightshirts.
Yes, yes.
10 volumes in Abyssinian on how to use inverted self-propelled Melanesian emergency night bucket and spoon. 400 weight of assorted concrete trombones with trombones attached to the My Jones.
Yes.
50 tins of fortified high-altitude centipod tea with portable thunder sheets.
I got that, Harry. All correct, yes. Now, what's in crate number two?
Crate number three.
Well, what's in crate number three?
Nothing.
What's the idea of that?
To make it light up.
Oh, jolly good. Now, tell me.
Hey, look out, you three. The mountain's coming down.
What?
Stay clear.
Where?
Timber!
Man, he's not worth digging up.
What? You horrible man, you. You've got to dig him up. He's got my wages in his pocket.
Oh, I got him. I got him. In fact, I got all three of them. Now, give me a heave. One.
Now, what's in crate number four?
My head.
What's your head doing in crate number?
I say, look, Mount Everest is down. Mount Everest is down. Hussar! Hussar!
Yep, sure is.
Then, Major Brudnup, it's up to you now. Get cracking.
Yes, yes. Well, Lord Harry, in a week, Mount Everest will be packed, ready for shipment to England.
But the shipment was delayed. I was called to Government House, New Delhi. When I arrived there, this is what I was told.
Lord Harry, there's a delegation of foreign gentlemen waiting to see you.
Oh, heavens. Who are they?
They refuse to stay.
Tell the Russians I'll see them.
Lord Harry Sigun.
Yes?
My government have taken exceptions to your removal of Mount Everest.
On what grounds?
We will tell you what ground. A portion of Mount Everest was in Russia. Therefore, Britain has violated the Anglo-Nordic Agreement of 1873.
I've never heard of it.
What? Ah! You mean you don't believe us?
No, I don't believe there is any such agreement.
There's gratitude for you. After we spend all the money forging it.
That's the trouble with English. English, you're filthy, uneducated, ill-mannered, uncouth, unhealthy, incompetent, moronic, idiotic, and unflattery.
Everyone has their little weaknesses.
Mine is my nose.
Nose?
Yes. Thompson?
Sir?
Would you take these two gentlemen's camels outside? I find them a little overpowering.
Overpowering? Insult.
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 Our camels are cleaned and washed every day in Charleville.
Like
they don't smell.
Of course they don't smell. It's bad.
The following day, I returned to Bombay, by which time Mount Everest had been wrapped in brown paper and lowered into the hold of HMS Regurgitant. With its precious cargo, we set sail for England.
But then, bad luck. 4 days out, we ran into a freak storm.
My dad, Crunch, what a storm.
Yes, we're leaking badly.
Were the holes flooded?
I couldn't tell. They were full up with water.
Bitter luck.
Lord Seagull, Lord Seagull, O'Malley the cook, we washed overboard.
Good heavens, when?
About 3 days ago.
Why didn't you report this before?
I don't like you.
Oh! This is terrible. Where the... Ah, here comes the captain.
A father, stand by. We think he might in a stay alive.
Your captain?
Anything that's not needed, starboard aside.
Okay. Oh, I'm
you think? Send your solution to us on a postcard. Address the Mount Everest Salvage Fund, care of Professor Pickard. Good night. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, scripted by Spike Milligan and Mary Stevens, announcer Andrew Timothy, produced by Peter Eastman.